Thank you for tuning in to Cross and Crown Baptist Church. For more information about our church and service times, check out www.crossandcrownbaptist.org. We invite you to follow along in your Bibles and open your hearts to the preaching of God's Word.
Chapter 2 and verse 1 of 2 Kings. It came to pass when the Lord would take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind, that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. Now let me just catch, I'm going to go through these verses slowly and just bring us into the narrative here. Do you remember who Elisha is? Let's back up a little bit. It's been several months since we've looked at Elijah. Elijah was going through a crisis in his life. He went into depression. And we studied about how God can help us with our times of depression. And he was there on the mountain alone as God appeared unto him. And he then took his mantle, the Bible says, and he wrapped his head in the mantle because he could not look upon God. And God demonstrated his power there for Elijah. And he sent Elijah. He says, you know what? I want you to now leave this mountain, go back down, and I want you to go find this guy by the name of Elisha. And I want you to make him be the next major prophet in your place. So this is where Elisha comes from. And he is now working with this young man. Sometimes we call these folks that are learning to get into the ministry, sometimes today they're called preacher boys. If you go to Bible colleges, they'll say, we have a preacher boys class, and stay away from them. Yeah, they're dedicated to the Lord. They're not interested in anything but the Lord. Actually, preacher boys are, it sounds like a funny term, but they are seeking to learn ministry. And there's a bunch of these that Elijah had been training because they didn't have Bible colleges then. He did the teaching. Elisha was also moving into that next place. So Elisha accompanies him. Verse 2, Elijah said unto Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Bethel. And Elisha said unto him, as the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they went down to Bethel. And the sons of the prophets, there's our preacher boys, that were at Bethel, came forth to Elisha and said unto him, knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he said, yea, I know it. Hold your peace. Now, somehow these young men had been given the gift of prophecy to know the future. We do not have that gift actively present today. We have the Holy Spirit to give us understanding, and the scriptures are all the prophecy complete for us. That's all we need to know. The gift of prophecy that some claim to have today is not of the Lord. And there are people that say that they can foretell the future, but it is not of God. So the gift of prophecy was in place in the early church until the scriptures were completed, and it was also present in the Old Testament. So someone among those preacher boys that was the sons of the prophets had a revelation from God that today was going to be the day that Elijah had his last day on earth. They didn't know he was going to be translated. They didn't know anything about a fiery pillar or a whirlwind or a chariot, or they didn't know anything. They in their mind, the tragic news, today was Elijah's last day on earth. And it grieved him. And they came, and he left Gilgal, and he came to Bethel, where a lot of the preacher boys were. And by the way, Bethel was a really rough place. I mean, why have a preacher's college in the den of wickedness? Bethel was also a place where there was calf worship. There was a lot of ungodly people there, and God said, that's where I want you to start a Bible college. There's where I want to train people for the real ministry. And so he meets them there, and they come out and they say, Elisha, don't you know your master is going to be taken away today? He says, I know it. Hold your peace. Hold your peace. So then he goes on, and he's following the Lord. Verse 3, the sons of the prophets that were at Bethel came forth. Verse 4, Elijah said unto him, Elisha, tarry here with the preacher boy. Stay here in Bethel, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Jericho. And Elisha said, "As the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee." So they came to Jericho. And this also had a school of the prophets. It says the sons of the prophets that were Jericho came to Elisha and said unto him that they had had a revelation. "Knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today?" And he answered, "Yea, I know it. Hold ye your peace." Elijah said unto him, "Tarry, I pray thee here, Elisha, for the Lord hath sent me to Jordan." Wow, that's across the river Jordan to the land where Elijah had grown up, back in his home turf. And Elijah said unto him, "Tarry, I pray thee here, for the Lord sent me to Jordan." And he said, "As the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee." And the two went on. And 50 men of the sons of the prophets went and stood to view afar off as they too stood by Jordan. And Elijah took his mantle and wrapped it together and smote the waters, and they were divided hither and thither, so that they too went over on dry ground. And it came to pass when they were gone over that Elijah said unto Elisha, as those two were alone, finally, nobody with them, the 50 sons of the prophets are over on the hill watching from a distance. He finally gets Elisha all alone, and he knows this is his last moments on earth. God has revealed it to Elijah that he's going to die, or that he's going to pass from. Maybe Elijah's thinking he's going to die somehow, or a lion's going to jump out of the bushes, or a big rock's going to fall on him, or something like that. We don't know the whole story, but we know that he knew this was his last day. And he turns to Elisha and he says, "Before I go, here's a request. What would you like? Ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee." Elisha said, "I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me." Wow, a double portion. He said, "Thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me when I am taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee. But if not, it shall not be so." And it came to pass as they still went on and talked that, behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire and parted them both asunder. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven, and Elisha saw it, and he cried, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. And he saw him no more. And he took hold of his own clothes and rent them in two pieces. He took up also the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and went back and stood by the bank of Jordan. And he took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and smote the waters and said, "Where is the Lord God of Elijah?" And when he had smitten the waters, they parted hither and thither, and Elisha went over. There's more to this story, but we'll stop there for now. And I just want you to understand this. As I think about where we are in our spiritual lives, there's a lot we can learn from this passage right here. And as I think about resolutions, as I think about refocusing my life here in 2025, I am faced and confronted with the same question that many of you are. Do I want to remain as I was last year, or can I improve? Can I be more like the Lord? And can I see more of His power in my life? I think that's the question that's in your hearts, isn't it? Do I want to see God doing more in my life? If so, you're asking the same question Elisha did. Where's the God of Elijah? Elijah was the personification of the power of God. Wherever he went, people knew he had the power of God to call down fire, burn up things, to say, "It's not going to rain until I say so." I mean, this man had the power of God upon him. Would to God we would have the power of God on us.
Amen.
This is our heart's desire. How can we do that? Let me just share with you very quickly two things, not 3 points and all of that. Just two thoughts I want you to keep in mind today from this passage. Two things you don't want to forget, and it's simply this. Number one, we will not see the power of God without serious pursuit. Serious pursuit. We live in an age where our normal Christianity all around us is that we are convenient with our Christianity. We're comfortable in our Christianity, and we think that we can just roll on as at other times, but we are without power. Just like Samson. I shall go out as at other times. And he wist not, he knew not that the power of God was no longer on him.
Right.
I don't want to be that way. I don't want to just be where I am calling upon God in the moment of crisis. I want to have his power with me every day, and I want to see him do more things. Jesus even told us, even when he reflected on what he had done, he said, greater things than these can you do through the power of the Holy Spirit. Don't you want to have an exciting life, not only for you, yourself, but your family, those who depend on you, those who are around you? Don't you want coworkers and others to say, wow, there's the power of God in his life? This is what we want. How do we do that? Number one, pursuing. Did you notice that Elisha followed Elijah like this? He had plenty of opportunity. Oh, you're gonna take a trip to Bethel? Yeah, well, you know, I think I'm just gonna stay here. But what did he say? As the Lord lives, and as long as I live, I'm gonna be pursuing, tied closely with you. Nothing can separate us. Nothing. I'm gonna be right at your side. Boy, isn't that great to have a friend like that? I'm gonna be there no matter what. No matter what you face, I'm going to be there with you. And so he goes down to Gilgal, he goes down to Bethel. Did you notice what was the response of the sons of the prophets? You know, Elisha, don't you know that your master's going to leave today? You know, that was a genuine thought. But you know what? Really, in the eyes of Elisha, it was a challenge to his commitment. Why don't you just stay here? He's just going to go. What good is it? I mean, whether you go with him or whether you stay here, he's going to be gone. We have that revelation. So why don't you just stay here? When you make a dedication and a commitment to pursue, or a resolution, you're going to resolve to follow the Lord, people without even intending to challenge you are going to challenge it. They will. They're going to be like, what's the big deal? You know, do you have to go to church every week? Do you have to go to the midweek service? Do you have to do this? You know what? Hey, you know, I'm not doing anything till I read my Bible in the morning. Do you have to do that? Come on, the eggs are getting cold, you know? Every decision that you make for the Lord will be challenged. You need to make sure that there is a commitment to pursue and follow the Lord. Amen? So it's going to involve this following. It not only was Bethel, he went and said, I'm going down to Jericho. Same thing happens. And he says, I'm moving on from Jericho and I'm going down to Jordan. And over is this challenge. Let's look at the way he does this. Did you know when you follow Christ, you're going to have to do these things? Let's review some verses. I'll read them to you. Just listen closely. When you say, I'm going to follow Christ, what does it mean to follow Christ? First of all, let me tell you, it's going to include cross-bearing. It's not going to be easy. It's going to be a challenge. Listen to this. In Mark chapter 8 and verse 34, when he called the people unto him with his disciples also, he said unto them, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. If you say, I want to follow the Lord in 2025, it's going to involve a cross. There's going to be sacrifice. If you say, I want to follow the Lord, it's also going to mean that you have a heartbeat of fishing for men. How can I reach this world for Christ? You can't really be following God without that being somewhere in your heart. Matthew chapter 4:19, when I was ordained, The ordained council and the pastor who headed it up wrote in here the most important verse that a pastor needed to hear, Matthew 4:19. Follow me, I will make you fishers of men, Jesus said. Following Christ is going to be cross-bearing. It's going to be fishing for men. Also, it means that you're going to be following spiritual people because you're going to need help along the way. This is why Elisha felt like he was all alone. My father, my father! He felt all alone, but God doesn't want you to feel that way. He wants you to be closely knit with people who are also following the Lord. We need each other. In Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 12, it says, we desire that every one of you show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end, that ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Some of you have a dedicated, committed heart to follow the Lord. I want you to be my friends because I don't want friends that aren't following the Lord. I can be friendly to them and I can be nice and I can like them and enjoy the friendship that we have, but you know what? Their number one goal is not following the Lord. I don't have as much time for them as I have for those who are. This is what we need to do. We need to be focused on finding friends that lead you closer to God. If a friend is not leading you closer to God, then question the friendship. We only have so much time on this planet. Let's join with those people who are followers, true followers. Hebrews chapter 13, 7. Remember them that have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. I was a pastor for 12 years, and the Lord laid on our hearts to start a church. And we followed the Lord and stepped out in faith. And you know, when we came to Clarksville, God didn't just give us a church. It was a long time coming. And the Lord sent us through some really dark times. I mean, it was tough. There were so many challenges saying, stop, give up, move on. God's not in this. All of these things and voices that you hear and all of those challenges. And there were times when I said, Lord, is it worth it? You know, I can't even hardly feed my kids. I'm just mowing grass all the time and I'm worn out and things break and how do you pay for them to get fixed? And it was tough. And the Lord smote my heart and said, you have followed me. I'm preparing you so that people can follow you in faith. And I thought, if I don't have the faith personally to make it through an event like this, then who would want to follow? And that's why the Bible says, so importantly as I just read, that make sure that you look to the people who have walked in faith and follow them. Paul said this, follow me as I follow Christ. We need each other, and we look at these faith-building events in our lives, and we say this, I need Elijah in my life. If there's a godly man who I can lean hard upon and be with, that's where I want to be. I don't have time. My years are short before I pass and translated however the Lord should take me. But in that time, I don't want to waste those years with the wrong crowd. Right. It's not going to help me. Oh, there are people who are all around us that think they're more sophisticated in their Christianity. They know better than we do. They've understood things on a higher plane. They're more cosmopolitan with their life. You know what? I may not be sophisticated. I may not be culturally aware. I may not even be culturally relevant. You know what I'm concerned about? Not what they think. I'm concerned about what God thinks. And that's who I want to please. I want to follow him with my whole heart, even though the world may try to challenge me along the way. Elisha asked for a hard thing, didn't he? Let's look at that verse again. Verse 10. He said, verse 9. What shall I do for thee before I'm taken away? Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. I don't even know if I could ask for the single portion that Elijah had. He had a full dose. His bottle was so full of the power of God that all you had to do was just nudge it and it would flow out. I mean, he had, and Elisha's vision was that if Elijah had this much of the power of God, if that's 8 ounces, I want 16. You know, what does that say about his heart? That means this is a young man who's in the making for being mightily used of the Lord. Should the Lord part him a double dose of Elijah's spirit? Wow. Now, what does Elijah tell Elisha? Look at verse 10. He said, thou hast asked a hard thing. A hard thing. Is it hard for God to pour out his spirit upon anyone? This is not talking about hard on God, because it's not hard for God. Okay. Sometimes we hold up our little meager little thing and say, here, fill my cup, Lord, I lift it up, Lord. Come and quench this thirsting of my soul. Oh, Lord, I just need 6 ounces. And God says, you know what the hard part is here? Trying to get this fire hose of power into that small vessel. It's not hard for God. If he wants to fill all the world with water, he can do it.
That's right.
It's not hard. Why does Elijah tell Elisha, what shall I do for thee before I'm going? Elisha says, give me a second. I don't think he had to wait. He says, you know what? The one outstanding characteristic of your life, Elijah, is the power of God. Would to God I could have a double dose. Wouldn't that be wonderful? And Elijah says, you've asked a hard thing. What did he mean by that? He says, it's going to be hard on you. Because when you have the power of God come into your life, all of hell is against you. All of the world is going to water you down, trying to quench that fire. That's what the devil and the world wants to do. And all around us, we are seeing Christians who used to be on fire for God, and they're not. They're watered down. They're useless. Their light is put out. Would to God, I don't want that to happen to any of us. We must be growing in our faith. Make sure that even though it's a hard thing for you to do it. And God will give you the grace. Did you notice that in verse 10, he says this, you've asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if you see me when I'm taken, you'll get your answer. But if not, it shall not be so. He said, you know what? There's one last challenge. You're not going to get what you want until you keep following. This whole point is this. Number one, if you want to see God's power in your life, it's following. He says, you know what? We're going to go one more journey. We've crossed the Jordan River. Now we're going to go on over here into this desert, into the mountains, and you have to stick with me wherever I go. Boy, I've told the story before about how my wife and I decided to go hiking with our kids. I said, you want to go hike the mountain? And this was up in northern Maine. And to me, I didn't think about what hike meant. Hike meant climb. In my vocabulary, you know, that's hiking. In her vocabulary, that's like get out the gear and the poles and the special boots and let's hike the mountain. No, that meant climb the mountain. Well, miscommunication. So we get out there and we've gone up a 3,000 foot elevation. And we're up above the tree line, we're on the rocks, and I look down and she's wearing her flip-flops. She wears flip-flops everywhere. She was wearing flip-flops every day this week in the cold, in the snow. Do you have them on today? No, she got the fancy things out called dress sandals. But they're not shoes. She doesn't wear shoes. It didn't work. It was arduous. And my sons are running on ahead, and they hadn't been there before, so I'm saying, come on back, you got to stay on the trail here, and I'm going to show you. I've been up there many times, and come on up. And they were following close to me. And I can just see Elijah going on up. He grew up there. He knew the territory, that very rough, hot terrain. And he's making his way up, and he's just going where God wants him to go. And Elisha, I don't know what he was like, but he might have been totally different than the mighty man's man, Elijah. Maybe he didn't have calluses on his hands or on his feet. Maybe it was difficult, but the promise was, if you're with me, when it happens, you'll get your request. And he stuck with it. He was there. Stick with it till the end. We are today a very ambitious people, but we are not a stick-to-it people. I saw a meme on social media that was put out, I think, probably December 27th, and it said, for those of you to finish your Bible, read through the Bible in a year plan, here's the help for the next 3 days. On December 28th, read Leviticus through Daniel. On December 29th, read, and it just goes to Romans, and then on to Revelation. And you could finish your Bible reading plan in 3 days. Isn't that exactly, let's be honest with ourselves, is not that where we are with our spiritual commitment so many times? We have ambition, but we just don't stick to it. That is not a reason for saying, I'm not going to read the Bible this year. If you have failed every other year in your life, make the commitment, and then with God's help and grace, stick to it. If I'm going to be faithful to church attendance, and that is so important, stick to it. Some people told me even this morning that if the church is open, I'm going to be there. I grew up in a place where we had to open the church. A snow shovel stood outside the door. There was no porch. The door of the church was right there. And you open the door. And so when there was 2, 3, or 4 feet of snow, whoever got there first shoveled out the door. And we regularly had to do that because my family was assigned to make sure that the fire was going in the wood stove at the 11 o'clock shift 7 days a week. So we would go and shovel out the door, go in, load it up with wood, close the dampers down so it would last all the way for 8 hours. And when the pastor came in the morning, he would just stoke the fire. But there were several times when my brother and I and my mother shoveled the door and got it open because we were the first ones there. On one occasion, we were the only three. No one else could make it. There were a lot of people that wanted to be there, but they couldn't even get out. And we're not talking about an inch of snow. We're talking about 36 to 48 inches of snow. And the men had responsibility of plowing, and they couldn't make it to church, but the families could. That's commitment. And understand this. I'm here today because of the commitment to Christ that others had. How much of an impact can you have on the people who are with you by they observing your commitment? Don't ever have the guilt and shame of saying that I was not the example that I should have been. Make that decision in your heart. I'm going to pursue God. I'm going to be that example. I'm going to follow. And understand this. This is a huge lesson. If we don't follow, we don't get the filling of the Spirit.
Amen. That's good.
If we're going to get to a point where we say, oh, come on, man. I followed you to Bethel. I followed you to Jericho. I followed you to Jordan. And now you're asking me to go up even more? I have found a Christianity I'm content with. I'm good. I don't need to go that last mile with you, bro. Got it? Then don't expect the power of God. God says, follow. And Jesus said, if you'll follow me, you will be a cross bearer, you will fish for men, and you will be with those who follow me also. What's the second point? And I hasten to tell you the second point. It's shorter, but simply understand this. Not only will it only, if you want to know to have the power of God in your life, not only pursuing, it takes seeking. Seeking. Let's read on verse 12 and the next few verses. Verse 12. Elisha saw it and cried, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. And he saw him no more. He took hold of his own clothes and rent them in two pieces. That's a sign of mourning that people did when someone died. They tore their clothes and just showed that they were like basically sackcloth and ashes. They were mourning and grieving. And verse 13, he took up also the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and went back and stood by the bank of Jordan. And he took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him, smote the waters and said, where is the Lord God of Elijah? I have two choices here. Sorry, camera. I move too fast for the camera so many times. And I just need some fashion opinion because I'm not really into fashion here. But I'm wearing a nice blue suit with a yellow tie. What would look better? Would it be the royal purple? Or would it be the blue with like the cheetah skin? Take a vote. Okay, we have, amen for the purple? Amen for the blue?
Amen.
Okay, purple it is. So, this, I only need this part because this is the cloak. This is the robe. This is what you call a mantle. And someone tied a knot in this. Oh my goodness. What in the world is a mantle? You have a mantle over your fireplace, right? That's spelled mantel, E-L. This is mantle with L-E. So, no sleeves. All right. Does it go?
No, it looks good.
Why in the world would Elijah wear one of these? It was a sign. It was not only an article of clothing, but it was a sign to everyone seeing that he was that prophet of God. Okay? It was not a turban. It was just something that was like. So when he got to the River Jordan, what did he do? He took that sign of the power of God in his life and he smote the waters. What was the only other time that the River Jordan dried up for mankind? When they crossed, the children of Israel went into Israel, the promised land. When the waters respected the presence of the Ark of the Covenant, the Word of God, the waters stopped. Not only was it that one time where the Ark of the Covenant crossed, it was the one who preached the Word of God and lived it and loved it that the water stopped. And it took that mark of his preaching the Word of God, smote the waters, and they parted. Then he put it back on because it fell from him, so he must have put it back on, and I don't know if it was partially wet or if it was totally immune to the water. It probably was immune. He puts it back on, and he's with Elisha, and all of a sudden, he gets translated, and what's left behind? Poof. That's left behind. Elisha picks it up and he asks this question, where's the God of Elijah? I don't think he was saying, I don't think there's a God. Is there a God? He was not asking that. When he said, where's the God of Elijah? He took this and he said, is the power of God going to be upon me? That's quite a question we all need to ask, isn't it? Do you have the power of God in your life? We need to follow and pursue, but we also need to seek. Seek. There are all kinds of seekers today. Let me just tell you about those kind of seekers. In Luke chapter 13, the Bible says the Pharisees seek a sign from heaven. 1 Corinthians, Paul tells us the Greeks seek after wisdom. In John chapter 6, Jesus, who just the night before fed 5,000 people plus women and children, they found him the next day all the way on the other side of the Sea of Galilee, and he said this to them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, you seek me not because you saw the miracles, because you did eat the loaves and were filled." There's a lot of Christians, even in Clarksville, although those around us, that are seekers, but they're only there for the wrong reasons. When God says we are to seek, it's more like this. Ezra chapter 7 and verse 10, the Bible says Ezra prepared his heart to seek the Lord. In Jehoshaphat also prepared his heart. 1 Chronicles chapter 19, he says he set himself to seek the Lord. In Psalm 27, the Bible says, "Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice, have mercy also upon me and answer me. When thou saidest, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek." Simply put, seeking the Lord means walking by faith. When he calls you and impresses upon you to obey him, to take that step of faith, that's what the Bible means by seek. Too many churches today are all into this seeker-sensitive movement. That's not the purpose of the church. And that's not the purpose in our life. The purpose is we need to be the seekers who are seeking the face of God. And we realize how far we are from God. We need to be seeking the Lord. Hebrews 11, verse 6 says, "But without faith..." Let me repeat, "but without faith it is impossible to please God. For they that come to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him."
Amen.
Two things about finding the power of God in your life. You need to stick to the Lord 100%. Nothing can separate you and the Lord. Nothing. I'm going to be committed. I'm going to be following. People today are asking the question, why did the previous generation of Christians, man, they were all about these rules and standards, and you know what? They missed the boat, and I figured it all out. And let me tell you this. I'm not going to cast judgment on the previous generation. You know what they had that was going for them that many people do not? They sought the Lord with their heart. 100%.
Amen.
That's it. Criticize me all you want. I don't care. I'm going to seek the Lord in 2025. I'm going to follow him. How much will it take to separate you from the Lord?
Right.
Think about this. How did Elijah go to heaven? "Swing low, sweet chariot." Did Elijah go up in a chariot? Now, some of you are looking down at your Bible and taking a peek here. How did he go to heaven? Look at verse 1. That the Lord would take Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind. Verse 11, "It came to pass as they still went on and talked that, behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire and parted them both asunder. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven." It was like a big cyclone that just appeared out of the sky, and here's Elijah. He's served his time on the earth, and he's done the ministry God called him to do, and he's prepared, and all of a sudden he turns and he's gone. Why did God send a fiery chariot? To separate Elisha from Elijah. Because as they went, they were step in step together. I don't think he was hanging on to him, but he was mighty close. Nothing was going to separate him. Do you see how dedicated Elisha was? How close he was going to follow? Nothing was going to separate him. God said, "You know what? In order for me to get Elijah home without sucking up Elisha, I'm going to have to send a fiery chariot." Now, if you're taking notes, jot these down, look them up this afternoon. Look at Psalm 104, verse 4. The Bible says, "I make my ministers," that's the angels, "a flaming fire." Psalm 68:17, write that one down. God says, The Bible says that God rides upon a chariot, which is a cherub. Psalm 18, verse 9 and 10. All of these verses indicate that when God does something that appears to be a fire, the fire is not for destruction and burning. The fire is brightness and intensity that just makes people stand back. And this came down, this chariot, and I believe that God Himself is coming with His mighty angels to harvest a soul to take it to heaven. And God said, I'm going to separate you from this person I'm taking home. Swing low, sweet chariot. That's not the focus. The focus was the whirlwind. But you're going to have to find in your heart that a commitment, if you're going to have the power of God that Elisha had moving on, it's going to be that you have a decision in your heart that I'm going to be committed. I'm going to be like this with the Lord this year. Friends, family, others, they're not going to dissuade me. I'm not going to be influenced by the world. I'm not going to be influenced by the devil. I'm going to make the decision. Whatever your decision might be, I want you to do this. Take and ask the Lord to show you some things that are keeping you from following Him. And He has spoken to my heart. In the extra prayer time that I had this week, as I'm praying and reading, God is beginning to show me new things. And I'm like, oh, wow, there's nothing sinful, nothing wrong, but you know what? That's something I want to take out of your life, and I want you to be closer to me.
That's good.
Are you closer to the Lord? As we close the service, think about that. Ask yourself this question, God, is there something in my heart that's keeping me from being close to you? What's taking your time? People say, I don't have the time to be in the Word. I don't have time to go to church. I don't have time to do things. Well, what is taking your time? Because we all have the same time. What's taking your heart away from the Lord? Let's pray. Father, as we close the service today, we thank you for the story of Elijah and his translation, how he was taken up and put down in another place, did not have to experience death. We thank you, Lord, for this wonderful story and the example of how Elisha asked the question, and where's the God of Elijah? And God, we want a double portion. We want you to do more in our lives this year than you did in the past. And we pray and ask you right now that you would meet with us. Please let the Holy Spirit convict our hearts right now as to areas that are in our life that are keeping us from walking closely with you. Father, they're there. We need your power. And we're not going to have that power until we follow you closely all the way. We pray for your grace and your help and decisions being made in Jesus' precious name. With our heads back.